Hey, Carm here, and welcome to a special interview with the 2018 Woman in Auto Care honorees. You'll meet the Female Shop Owner of the Year, the Auto Care Woman of the Year, and the Auto Care Woman of Excellence. I was so honored to sit with these award winners at Apex 2018.
Just sitting here, hearing how the data exchange goes from, you know, you collect it, John, and then Tammy and Nicole purchase it, and then you manufacture and move that data around so that the parts and parts suppliers can make sure that I can get a job done.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hi, Carm Capriato here, and in a few moments, Tammy Tecklenburg, the Vice President of Global Sales and Marketing Operations for Spectrum Brands and the Woman in Auto Care President, joins Dawn Zirin, Senior Vice President, Global and Strategic Initiatives, the NPD Group, along with Kathleen Jerozik, owner of Expertech Auto Repair, and Nicole Huard, Manager, Category Management and Consumer Insights at Robert Bosch, LLC. Now, they graced the Remarkable Results Radio airwaves discussing their personal Woman in Auto Care milestone. Hey, you know, this episode is made possible for you through the sponsorship of Federal Mogul Motor Parts and Garage Gurus for serious technical training and support online, on site, and on demand. Garage Gurus is everything you need to know. So find out more. Go to fmgarageGurus.com. Hey, I'm giving away podcast collector swag in the month of November 2018, and you can get some. Just listen to this episode for the November 2018 password, and then go to remarkableresults.biz/swag and enter. In just a bit, I'll tell you the password. Hey, recently I loaded up the photos page with pics from Apex 2018. Check them out. And also, the Carmcasts lives that I do on Facebook have their own home, too. Look for the Carmcast page on the website. And oh, yes, all the books we talk about on the episodes are available to you on the books page. Remember, leaders are readers. 'Twas the night before the big Woman in Auto Care ceremony that Tammy Tecklenburg, Dawn Zirin, Kathleen Jerozik, and Nicole Huard assembled in my Apex studio to discuss their honor and this important personal Woman in Auto Care milestone. These women have shown us how to mentor, nurture, and celebrate each other's wins in the only way they know how, and that's by creating more networks and retention for women in the industry. We had a great wide-open interview, and we covered a lot of topics. There's a lot going on with the Women in Auto Care as they integrate as a freestanding community within the Auto Care Association. You'll hear about the unbelievable amount of money they've funded in scholarships this year. It's huge. And about their lifelong seat as a trustee for the University of the Aftermarket Foundation. Learn why you should become a member of the Women in Auto Care, the scope of their network, and how important their mentorship program is. Find the ladies' bios, links to their previous interviews, and the episode's talking points at remarkableresults.biz/E384. Hey, now enjoy the fun and the conversation. A warm welcome to the Woman in Auto Care honorees for 2018. This is my first interview at Apex, ladies, and I'm thrilled that you're here. Last year, Tammy, you brought a group with us. Say hi.
Hello.
We're going to work very hard to have just as much
better
fun.
Better.
Even better, Dawn. Even better. With me is the honorees. Actually, I was so lucky to receive who the honorees were before it was ever
peek.
In the press. I got a sneak peek. It was so cool. Winners for the 28 Women of the Year Awards, Auto Care Woman of the Year, Dawn Zirin, Senior Vice President, Global and Strategic Initiatives, the NPD Group. Glad to have you here. Auto Care Woman of Excellence, Nicole Huard.
Hi.
Hey, Nicole, Manager, Category Management and Consumer Insights, Robert Bosch. Mm-hmm. Love that company. Cool. Female Shop Owner of the Year, Kathleen Jerozik, owner, Expertech Auto Repair.
Hello.
And if anyone says, Kathleen Jerozik, episode 320, you and I.
That's me.
And then you came back and you did a Town Hall Academy. Or no, you did a Shop Talk with us.
Shop Talk.
Episode 357. It was my first all-female shop owner Shop Talk. Thanks so much for doing that. And when I saw your name on the list, I was so proud, so happy.
Thank you.
Wow, Shop Owner of the Year. You know,
you know, she has a great story. Please go listen to episode 320 and listen to Kathleen's story. It is one of these off the chart things. You know, her and her husband were in the shop, and then they divorced, and then she bought the shop, and it's such a cool story. And then she says to me, "Yeah, Carm, my former husband is my lead tech," and I almost fell over in the chair.
That is true. And he still is.
That's awesome.
And he still is.
Put him to work.
Exactly.
So I just can't wait to talk to you more about that. So, and Tammy Tecklenburg is with us, the president of Women in Auto Care. Wow, what a special lady you are. Thank you so much for all that you do for the ladies. And you developed a mentoring program for Women in Auto Care.
I did, with a lot of help from a lot of other talented ladies.
I continue to hear of the impact that it is having on not only the woman, but the industry. Give us a feel for where the program sits right now.
When I started 23 years ago in this industry, about 2% of the industry were females. And we're looking at about 30% now. And that's, and the clapping in the background.
That's perfect.
But that's really exciting. And we're really engaging as much as we can. We're all about empowering and mentoring, connecting people and bringing them in through Women in Auto Care, getting them, signed up with a mentor and trying to help them be able to retain them and help them achieve their goals, whatever it is.
Mentoring. Any experiences here?
Well, I'm looking at one of my best mentors across this room here. Dawn has been a tremendous guiding light for me as I've gone through my career, especially in the last several years. It's hard when you coming up through the industry, I never had a female executive at my company where I had a personal kind of internal role model. Met Dawn several years ago and really connected and forced her into joining Women in Auto Care, and now she sits on our board, and she's winning this prestigious award, which I'm super proud of. She mentors lots of us and does great things every day.
It's the big one. I mean, the Woman of the Year.
It's pretty special.
That's right up there. I mean, you know, because you're a member of the organization.
So Tammy calls me. It was probably 4 or 5 years ago. So my company, the MPD Group, is a marketing research company. So we have tons of data. So she goes, "Can you be a speaker at our organization?" So I'm like, all right. So we start bouncing around ideas. And so I was a little nervous, right, going there. I've always heard of the organization. I don't know why. I never really got involved. So I go speak, and then I was just hooked. I mean, the organization, as you can see, is just amazing. When you go there, you connect the speakers. Some of the meetings, people start crying at the end when Tammy's up there. And just the connection and the mentoring, it's incredible. So
I bet my first meeting was in Orlando. Maybe it was 3 years ago. I walked away with some really great interviews. I have no excuse why I haven't been back. I have none. I just think my schedule it hasn't permitted it. But somebody will drag me to the next one somehow.
New Orleans. New Orleans in February.
That's not bad of a drag.
We happen to have that information right here available.
We want you to do a Facebook Live event for us from the meeting.
That would be so cool to do. You know, I have now equipped myself to go out and do these four-camera live events. And so what we should do is we should do a town hall academy from Women in Auto Care, and we can have an all-woman panel. That sounds interesting.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We can do that.
I bet you we can. Mentoring is, in our industry, we're talking mentoring more than ever. I'm confident that the industry doesn't understand mentoring in all of its parts and parcels and the right people and the accountability piece to it. Dr. John Passante is coming in this week with Aaron Schaefer from KYB, and we're gonna do a show on mentoring. It's the how that we're trying to drill into. Taking on mentoring, Dawn, can you just give us one little bit about, the success that you saw in your mentoring relationship with Tammy?
Well, I mean, I guess it's the connection, right? The connection and just being there. Like, just to be able to pick up the phone at any time and saying, "Hey, I'm working through this," or, like, we'll be texting back and forth or just giving a little picture of the lake and say, "Think about the." I mean, it's just knowing somebody's there, right? But then the accountability, right? That it's not really accountability because you're already connected to that person and you want that person to achieve and succeed.
So,
right?
Are you, Tammy? You're going to Dawn and saying, "Listen, I'm struggling with this. Can you give me a perspective on it?" And then if you get that...
Or just say, this is what's happening now, and then we start back and forth, right?
Okay, and then you start back and forth. But at the end of the day, does either hold each other accountable for the fact that did you solve your problem? Did you work it through? I mean, are you always following up?
Oh, yeah.
Because you can talk about things, but talk sometimes doesn't lead to action.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it is the following up. Again, Tammy and I are really good friends, too, but other people that I mentor, I make it a point to... Because everybody gets busy, right? They don't want in our mentoring program.
We usually like Jill Trotta is someone that I mentor, and we set goals and objectives, and we have touch points. And it's great that she lives in San Francisco, so at 9 o'clock at night when I'm on my way home is a good time for her to hop on a call. And no matter what's going on in my life, I always will find that 30 minutes to check in with her, because what I can do in 15 or 30 minutes could literally help reshape where her career is headed.
Right.
And I mean that in a super humble way, but it's just giving somebody else that perspective, or maybe something that you've been through that is a complete game changer. And once you start, right. It's like a drug. Once you start seeing that magic happen, then you want to help more people and more people. And for me, that's really what it's been about.
I agree.
And I get way more out of it than they do.
A mentee has to be so open, willing to accept, but also be a perpetual student, always wanting to learn and accept a different perspective.
And you get something back, too. You learn from your mentee. I mean, this is a relationship of what, like, oh, wow, I didn't think of it that way. Or,
yeah,
you
may
know?
Not be right attitude. Right.
Right.
Yeah, oh, geez, Tammy, I never thought of it like that.
But I totally agree with Tammy. And it's a drug. You're addicted to it. I mean, I love and get motivated by helping somebody work through a situation, men or women, of whatever we have to do.
And it's interesting because, Carm, you said that, you know, the industry is not really there yet, right? You know, I've watched Yang launch their program, and I think they're really starting off on the right foot there. We had, you know, overnight success with this because I think women are in tune to helping women. We're all raising each other up. We're making the industry better, not just ourselves better.
At your level and in the corporate world, mentoring, I think, is one of the most critical ways to grow people in the aftermarket. I'm talking with Mike Zralik, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Mike, are you an extension of the technical support center we all know as Garage Guru?
Most definitely. You know, I spend a lot of time there. I'm involved in all the classes that go on there. I actually host classes there, such as our ASC test prep courses. So very much so an extension of that.
Mike, you're in the shop. So what's the greatest outcome that you see from the techs and service advisors that you're spending time with?
Not only are they learning about great product, but we get to talk shop. So, like, you know, I was in a shop earlier today, and we were talking about some electrical diagnosis he was doing, and he was actually having a problem finding some schematics, and we were able to work with that and talk back and forth. So I was able to get educated on a problem he's having in the field, you know, where I can share that with others, and I can share other ideas from other people with him.
Do you actually put product in the hands of the technicians?
You have to. That's, you know, in this industry, a lot of guys are like myself. You got to touch it, feel it, play with it. You know, just telling them about features and benefits isn't going to sell it. You put it in their hands, that's going to sell it hands down.
So you take the new Wagner OEX brake pad and you put it in someone's hands. What happens?
First thing they do is say, wow. You know, and then they start asking questions about the unique design of it, the unique shape, and the purpose of that. You know, and they're very blown away by the technology that we put into it. They're amazed by it, and they're loving it.
Eyes light up, aha moments.
You bet. You bet. And why is it taking so long to get this out in the market?
And I need them, and I want it right now.
Exactly.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On-site, online, or on demand, the gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com. Carm here, and I'm stopping for just a second to tell you the November 2018 password for our SWAG swag contest. It is learning. Just go to remarkableresults.biz/swag to enter. Good luck. When I said earlier about mentoring, my concern is the automotive, young automotive tech who's coming in, who has to learn, in some cases, flat rate, in some cases, how to deal with a new team, how to be a better diagnostician, what classes to go to. And we know that we need to assign a mentor inside of all of our young diagnosticians. And even our shop owners today need to go into a networking group and find a mentor to help them become a much better leader and shop owner.
I would say that for me at this point, I am very involved in the coaching group that I am a part of. I was also at the very first meeting for me for Women in Auto Care was the Orlando meeting. That meeting alone changed my life. I had a coach, my prior coach, decided to challenge me to do a women car care clinic. And I randomly sent an email to a shop owner, not close, because people don't like to share. And it happened to be Amy Matinette. And she was so
jackpot
encouraging and helpful. I didn't even know that she was a woman shop owner. I just searched for a women car care clinic. She had a lot on her website. And I said, hey, we're not in the same market. Would you be willing to guide me a little bit? And I will tell you, from that moment, it was December and the conference in Orlando was in February. So I went in never really having met anyone and immediately felt the energy in the Women in Auto Care conferences, whether you have an assigned mentor or not, mm-hmm. is unparalleled to any other group I've ever been to. I can reach out to Amy or Judy or Kim Allenheimer or so many women that I have connected with that are shop owners and not shop owners. And they are always willing to share. I learned more in a cab ride to the airport in Toronto from Marianne Croce mm-hmm. than I ever could have guessed that I would have learned in a taxi ride. Mm-hmm. So I think, like Tammy said, that the fact that we're women, we tend to nurture each other a little bit more, regardless of where we are. And Dawn, you were saying about, you know, nurturing them through difficult times, but it is super fun to celebrate each other's wins.
Oh, sure, definitely.
You know, and that's what it's all about is mm-hmm. is to celebrate these wins. It's a big deal that we've all three have mm-hmm. achieved such an amazing award. I know I am mm-hmm. both humbled and in awe of the women I'm sitting around right now.
For sure,
Nicole. Wow.
Yes.
Auto Care Woman of Excellence. Manager, Category Management and Consumer Insights at Robert Bosch. You did some kind of woman program over there. Tell us about it.
Yes, so probably going back to about 2011, very similar to what Tammy said, I looked around my organization. I had just started getting involved with the auto care industry and realized that there really was a need to create a network for women within our organization. You know, again, repeating some of the items that Tammy already listed off is creating that network, building retention, really helping women, you know, when we bring in new women to the industry, into our organization, how do they acclimate? How do they find out what they need to do in order to be successful? So with that, we launched our first Women at Bosch network within the U.S., and now today we have over 1,500 members, which is very impressive. So we actually just had our national conference here in the Chicago area just a few weeks ago, just really celebrating women, helping build business acumen, because that's one of the areas that we feel that women do lack. They don't get the same support in those areas as men do. So continuing to help women build and enhance that skill set for themselves.
Nicole, category management. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that 90% of my audience doesn't have a clue what category management is.
So
maybe 50%.
Okay.
We're a pretty popular group around here in the auto care industry.
Yep.
I'm just giving you a hard time. So what is category management? Really, where it's a collaboration between the manufacturer as well as a retailer. It could be somebody in our traditional channel, helping them to better understand market trends, you know, analyzing what is the optimal sales mix, you know, understanding who is the end user of their product, really to enhance the whole selling environment so that both parties, you know, our customer as well as us as a supplier, you know, overall will increase sales.
So Nicole, yeah. I don't know if you saw this, but Nicole was the chair of the auto care industry at Leadership Days, the chair of the Category Management Committee, which cool. was yeah. a very big job in the last year or two.
I think that's the first woman that was the oh. too, right?
I can't confirm that, but as I far as so, I know, yes.
Good for you.
So, yeah, it was an excellent, you know, the, I guess the role came up a few years ago and, you know, I was sold on it based on, gives you the exposure within the industry, gives you, me personally, it gave me a little bit different of an experience outside of Bosch that I would have had. So here, really, you know, being a chair, taking the lead on, you know, what is our initiatives going to be for the next 2 years, you know, building teams around that to make sure that we are actually going to tackle what we put forth.
So it's really all about the data, am I right?
Yes.
It's always all about the data.
It's always about the data. I know. Oh, my God. Isn't it amazing? Data is the king ruler.
You can see where NPD and Dawn come in now.
Yeah, I know, because you and Dawn kind of are connected at the hip, basically, yes. right?
Me too. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, you too?
I buy a ton of Dawn's data.
You buy Dawn's data? Dawn's data.
I love it's
that.
Dawn's data. Dawn's maybe my data. Company, NPD, doesn't know that it's now Dawn's data.
Yeah, NPD.
I'm thinking I need to get in on some of that Dawn data.
I've always wondered what NPD stands for.
That would be so cool. Throw that.
When my CEO comes here tomorrow, Dawn's data, or change our booth now.
Throw that. You know that idea box in the CEO's yeah. office? Throw it in there. We should call it Dawn's data. So, interesting. You collect the data, Tammy, and Nicole, you buy it.
Yes. Yep.
And you use it to help put the products in the out in the marketplace, yeah. so that consumers and or shop owners can buy it because I need it right now. Mm-hmm. And so the I need it right now, is it available and is it deployed in a forward way? It's all about data and category management.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I have to say it was hard to get this data. Our industry and some of our retailers are very sensitive to wanting to provide data, right? Because they're kind of opening up. Their vest, right, to see. And so
Okay, so the data is about, I sold this, and you need to know where and when and how.
Who and what,
and
yeah.
then, and I'm supposed to tell you that? That's my secret sauce.
Exactly.
You can't have my secret sauce.
Right, and so what was really important was the Auto Care Association, and again, this category management, it came together. I mean, the retailers and manufacturers, we need data. We need data so we can support our business. So they had us come in and other companies and said, what can you do? And we said, you guys have to provide this data. And again, it's protected, right? So if an AutoZone Advance, it's aggregated. But then they would get, so the retailers get it back too, so they can see how they're doing. So, and then that goes to mm-hmm. the category management, the collaboration. But the sensitivity in our industry is pretty key and trying to keep on enhancing. But we've done it, and I think people have been able to make better decisions and grow their business.
And I do think we are continuing to grow, and I think that what I've learned from this industry and what makes us unique is that collaboration between mm-hmm. the retailers, even us as suppliers too, that other industries do not have that same, you know, we get together at least twice a year to talk about how we can move forward with this industry, using the best data possible, you know. So I think that really sets us apart and will continue to make us, at least category management-wise, continue to be successful for many years to come.
Kathleen, as a shop owner, hanging out with these corporate types that are here, and all the people, and I say that totally lovingly, you know that. My point is the learning curve about the size and the scope of our industry so big for you? I mean, you know, here you are, the shop owner, and all of a sudden you're hanging with these, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but these early smart women in these corporate jobs. My point here is it taught you anything? And number two, how are we spreading the word inside of our industry that it's just not about being working on a parts counter and turning a wrench? This industry is dynamic and so big.
Just sitting here, hearing how the data exchange goes from, you know, you collect it, John, and then Tammy and Nicole purchase it, and then you manufacture and move that data around so that the parts, end parts suppliers can make sure that I can get mm-hmm. a job done.
Right.
And so the sensitivity with the data, I totally understand as a shop owner, and I try to keep my, you know, I keep my list close to my vest. And but you're right, that's, there's got to be a way to share that information so that it can all come down to help us service the client at the end of the day better. So, I mean, my thought is it's not like we have 8 different SKUs now for an alternator or a fuel pump. We have, you know, 8,000 SKUs with all of the different year, make, model, you know. And so without you collecting that kind of information and really getting it back to tell mm-hmm. you where the part failure rates are mm-hmm.
Because in the old days, vehicles in operation was one thing, but if the part failed, we want to know that too. So who's selling it?
Right.
Just because there's 10,000 of these Camrys in your marketplace doesn't mean that the alternator is going bad. So how many should I really stock? And that's where the data comes in. A question about data, Dawn. If I give you my data, you protect where it came from, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yes, it's protected. It's aggregated. They would never. So all the retailers, those 8,000 doors that we get, it's aggregated. And so you see a total market.
It's aggregated.
Right? Total market.
Okay. So anybody ever say no to you? I mean, in the early days?
Yes.
Oh, all right.
And we want to do more, and they say no. So, yes. And that's why I think as a marketing research provider, they have to trust us, right? They have to trust us knowing that we're going to protect their data. Same way with retails. Like, both Tammy and Nicole are our clients. I'm not going to go to Bosch and talk about what Tammy's doing in her business. We wouldn't be in business if we were that way.
That's right, you wouldn't be in business. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the data is so important. Not just the data that we have. Think about now the trends that are happening in the future, right? The consumer, the changing behavior. Like for you, knowing that how they're changing, where they're shopping, how they're buying with e-commerce. Think about, I think retail is endless, right? It's different. And how they're going to drive. Like in the future, again, people, if you think about shared subscriptions, I saw that like in 2040, 80% of the miles driven is going to be on some kind of shared vehicle. That's
right.
Huge. Huge. So how does that impact what you do right now, and how do you plan for the future? Right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That we've had those very discussions as to how do you even get the data to get into the market. You know, some of the rideshare people, you can't even break into that market as a repair shop to find out how to be connected with those people. And that is a growing portion of our client base.
Right.
You know, there are less and less people are going to own cars, especially in large cities where it's difficult to park, you know, in New York and San Francisco. Mm-hmm.
And teenagers now, they don't care about driver's license.
You're right.
Like this is statistics I just saw. In 1983, 46% of teenagers got their driver's license. Now it's 25%. What's it going to be in 5 years? Again, mm-hmm. they have social media. They don't need to drive around to see their friends, mm-hmm. right? But how's that going to impact the industry? That's what we have to think about.
So interesting. I spoke to a guy a couple of weeks ago, and he says to me, there's a guy planning for ride sharing on autonomous cars. He mm-hmm. bought a piece of property in a city, and he's going to build a parking ramp, and he's going to play his gamble that that's where the ride share, the cars are going to be hailed from. And he wants to control that. Not only does he wants them, listen, I'll do the work on your car. You can
sure.
you can stage your vehicles in my ramp.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's thinking
ahead.
Outside the box, mm-hmm. isn't it?
You have to, right?
Yes.
Well, think about too. Like, Advance is coupled up with Walmart. Who would ever think that they're selling their products on Walmart.com? All people are thinking you have to think differently. GM is not thinking about Ford or any people like that, their competitor. They're thinking about Lyft or Google.
I love that Laura Suave, our woman of the year from last year, and Pep Boys just launched their mobile service.
I know. And I sat and I read that press release and I sat back in my chair and I thought very long and hard about it. And I won't go on record now as to what I really feel about it, but I think it's extremely interesting. I'm not saying I love it. I'm not saying it's not good. I find it interesting, and usually I always find a great positive thread in something. Never take anything for face value. I've always believed in that. Dig a little deeper, find out, you know, who really is their customer, and will their customer take advantage of this? I can't believe that the Icon world and Laura's company did this without deep, deep thought. Guarantee you.
Sure.
And if, mm-hmm. will I see her tomorrow, maybe?
She's here.
She'll be at our reception for sure.
Well, I absolutely want to go up and say to her, so what gives with this mobile thing? That's what I want to say to her.
I think you'll be seeing a lot more of that, Carm.
I love when we're breaking new grounds and we're breaking and creating new trends. And we'll probably be talking about it on the show here in the future. Nicole, how did you join our industry?
I would say I kind of blindly came into this industry. Prior to working in the automotive industry, I worked in the office supplies industry.
Okay.
And then my boss there actually came to Bosch and had sold me on how, you know, wonderful aftermarket was, how stable the company of Bosch was, how much opportunity and there would be growth within this industry, especially for, I won't say how old I was, but I was still, I would consider young coming into industry, and just looking at the opportunities that would be ahead of me. And I still feel that's what has kept me within this industry is, you know, the opportunities and the people I've met. I really feel that I built a family, both within Bosch as well within the Auto Care Association.
Kathleen, when you put your crystal ball on and you think about the next 5 years in your industry, what do you see?
I see a lot of change. I think as a repair shop owner, my main objective in the next few years is going to be really to create a culture of learning with all of my employees, service advisors, technicians, all of it, because the technology in vehicles and the way we're driving is changing so rapidly that we really need to get form more of a habit of learning and lifelong learning instead of just taking a class here or a class there because you know everything. There's no possible way the cars that are coming off the assembly line today, there are some of them that there's no way we could even have the technology to learn to fix right now. So creating a culture of learning is probably my next major goal and focus in not only my shop, but in our general area. We're forming a business development group that we have not previously had. And I think for me, the focus really needs to be learning. There's no reason you can't set a goal of 80 hours a year for a technician so that they can stay on their game. They need to make money. They need to be able to provide for their families as well as the rest of us. So technology is, the advancements in technology are, I think, where we really need to focus right now.
Great, great answer. Thank you. Take us to the moment when the phone rang and they said, you won.
Well,
shop owner of the year.
Judy called me and said, hey, what are you doing? It was a Saturday morning. And I said, well, I'm at the shop. We were doing an office renovation and we were right in the middle of the last portion of it. And she said, well, do you have a minute to talk? I said, sure. Because we had had the interview and I really thought, okay, here it comes. You know,
it was really hard this year. So
meaning there were so many great qualified candidates?
Unbelievable candidates.
Oh, wow.
Every year, the talent is really incredible. But we narrowed it down. Olivia Newton runs that committee now, and she narrowed it down to the finalists and then did phone interviews, which was a really nice way to connect with people like Kathleen that we might not have known as well as someone like Dawn, and I've seen quite a bit out of Nicole in the last couple of years.
So that interview then goes back to the committee, and then the committee continues to read and then decides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then she called me and said, well, you know, are you going to SEMA and APEX? And I said, you know, I'm kind of on the fence. I'm not really sure. I went last year, and she said, well, I think you might want to really consider making some reservations. And I go, oh, really? Are you going? And she said, no, you won. And I was like, excuse me, what? No, seriously. And so we chatted a little and she said, you know, by the way, it's time to start breathing now. And I've noticed you're not breathing. And I said, okay. So I think it took about 3 days to kick in. She said, but here's the catch. You can't tell anybody until we do the press release. So it was this super huge secret, and I couldn't tell anybody.
You could have called Carm. He was the only one that we had to tell.
I was so honored. Thank you so much for giving me the scoop on this.
You're one of the girls, Carm.
Yes.
I know I am. I can share that experience with you. I won the Communicator of the Year from ASA this year. And when I was at their event in May of 2018, it was my wife Ann came with me. I was told that, Carm, you need to be at the banquet tonight.
And you said, didn't know before?
No, I had no idea.
That's really a surprise.
Oh, my gracious.
No, I had no idea. I was clueless.
It's really like the Academy Awards.
And they came to me and says, listen, I says, yeah, we'll get there. Maybe I'm going to go, you know, to Epcot with Anne or something. No, you got to be there. Well, I says, okay, well, yeah, I've never been to it, so it would be great to come. It wasn't the banquet, it was the award ceremony. And I said, yeah, there's a lot of people. I know I've interviewed so many people. I mean, in this interview, I know so many people. I got to go because if anybody wins that I know, I want to go give them a hug, take a picture, right? That's just me. And so they went to Ann on the side and they said, make sure he's there. He won an award. And so Ann didn't tell me, and she made sure I was there. It's a great honor to be so surprised, by the way.
Yes.
But in order to get on a plane and come here, you have to know, right?
You do have to know, I think. Yeah.
Nicole, Dawn, were you all coming, or did you make special plans? Yeah.
No, I come. We come every year.
Every year. Mm-hmm.
Just so mine's mixed, but yeah, this definitely drove my decision to join. But very similar for me. I think I was most shocked and impressed that I was nominated by somebody outside of Bosch, one of my fellow, you know, peers within the industry. So I feel to be nominated by actually a competitor of mine, I think was, I mean, just I feel meant so much to me based on the relationship I built with that gentleman and what we've done for the industry, that he would have felt so highly of my contributions to nominate me.
And then we had to give referrals, so it was pretty interesting. So when I had to do the interview and the referrals, but then like the next day, Nicole sends me a note and says, hey, I got nominated for an award at the Woman in Auto Care. Would you mind giving a referral? And I'm like, Which award?
It's like, this is the award I'm competing.
Oh, because you knew you were up for an award, too.
But yeah, different awards, yeah.
And so what's the referral process about? I mean, like a reference?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, references. So you had to fill out, right. And so wrote out how great Nicole was and how she deserved
like
the award.
An industry or client reference.
This is like a root canal. Yeah.
The questionnaire was not easy at all.
Olivia and her committee do a wonderful job.
Yeah,
I had to call my
if anyone
my,
ever questioned any of you, you just pull out all the reports, and there's this whole analysis.
I had to call my business coach. I'm like, I don't qualify for this. Like, I can't answer these questions. These are too difficult.
That was before the
interview. It was crazy. Oh. And then the interview, I was laughing because, so when I was so nervous because I didn't know what to expect. And then, of course, my family in the shop watched me pace while I was on the phone. You guys should do that by Skype next year, by the way. You should get some entertaining actor.
You weren't nervous at all.
No. Well, I was on the phone, and so I called in, and Judy said, okay, there are 7 other people or something on the phone, but they're not going to talk. They're just going to listen.
Oh, my. You were on the bubble.
We're a rough crowd.
You were.
My former husband was like, oh, I couldn't have spoken after that. So you just kind of do what you do. But they asked, like, really not easy questions, but very easily answered questions. Like, they just flowed. There's no right or wrong, no black or white.
So after that interview, was it a bottle of wine or a bourbon?
Oh, yes, definitely a bottle of wine.
Wow, Tammy, so I had no idea. I mean, that's impressive to know that this you vet this process these honorees. So
one company that doesn't vet is Ratchet & Wrench magazine. They called me in August, and I thought it was for an interview. They sent me an email and said, hey, we need to interview you. And I assumed it was because of my work with Women in Auto Care. And so I got on a quick call. I said, I'll give you 5 minutes between meetings today, called this guy back, and he said, well, I was just tricking you. I was calling to tell you that you won one of our All-Star
All-Stars
awards.
Yeah.
And so I end up on the cover of Ratchet & Wrench magazine, and anyone that knows me, that is so crazy. Really, really crazy. But
that's a great picture,
to go back to your, you know, your first topic around mentoring, the power of mentoring. So several shop owners, and also Jill Trotta, who I love and always talk about, but got together and nominated me for this because things that they've picked up at our Women in Auto Care conferences or through our mentor program or whatever it was, felt that Women in Auto Care should be recognized. And I just happened to be the face of the brand this year, but it was
really... She just happens to be the face of the brand.
It was super shocking. Super shocking.
By the way, congratulations. I do believe I gave you a high five on social media, but... Yeah, a good public congrats to you on that. Well, ladies, it happens tomorrow night. Obviously, we're recording this on the night before the big award ceremony. And, of course, this I don't know when this will reach the air. But very proud of you all. Thank you so much for being here. Any final comments that anyone would love to contribute?
Just thankful that we're all had this opportunity, you know, to be able to be recognized. It's amazing. And to be in this industry, right? I mean, to be a woman in this industry. And, you know, I think all of us, it's important that we help other women find their voice, right? And have the confidence to do whatever they want to do. Yeah. Make it happen.
Yeah, and I second that. I mean, I felt it's a great honor to just represent other women within the industry and help build them up. And I mean, I encourage anybody, both men and women, to get involved within the industry. And I feel like the network that I've built, especially with the women, and as you mentioned, even the informal network is, you can't beat it. I mean, it's simple questions or just somebody to reach out to, bounce ideas off of, is definitely a huge perk of the involvement within both women in auto care and auto care.
Yes, and I agree 100% with what you've both said, and can only say that if there are any females in this industry that hear this, that are on the bubble, come to one of the conferences. Mm-hmm. It changed my life to see a group of women all the way down from a technician and a service advisor in every position, all the way up through high corporate, amazing women, all in the same room, all being so incredibly positive to each other. There were no levels. There are no hierarchies in that room. It is just a whole bunch of amazing industry women that are willing to share their experience, strength, and hope with each other to make us all and the industry as a whole great. And so I highly encourage anybody to come to a conference or join Women in Auto Care. It changed
to be
my life.
My membership committee.
I'm sorry.
That's right. Yeah, you lead the membership committee. Yeah. So, Tammy, how does someone join?
Go to the Auto Care website. So we're announcing tomorrow night. We have two big announcements tomorrow night. One is we are officially, just like AWDA, we are officially a community within Auto Care. So we were under the Car Care Council in the past, and now we're a direct segment of Auto Care, which is a really, really big dream and big deal for us. And so we're announcing that. And then today we were recognized at the AWDA luncheon. Danielle Sonnefeld and her committee and Vonda Lee and the PASS committee have done a really great job with scholarships. So we're giving away $100,000 this year. So we're celebrating that. That's such a big deal.
Yeah. Last year was like 60.
I think it was 75 last year, so we popped to 100. But the really cool thing is Danielle worked very hard to get us where we were recognized as a lifelong trustee for the University of the Aftermarket Foundation. So forever, there will be a Women in Auto Care scholarship.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yay!
No, that's truly huge. And I think your big award winner this year is earning
$10,000 scholarship. $10,000. She'll be there, and she'll receive a big check tomorrow night.
Wow, how cool is that? The big check picture. I can't wait to see that. Well, ladies, thanks so much. Appreciate you gracing the first interview here at Apex 2018.
And your best.
Yes, it's all downhill from here. Thanks, Carl.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Tammy Tecklenburg, Dawn Zirin, Kathleen Jerozik, and Nicole Huard for being such a wonderful inspiration to our industry. Your success is the success of every woman who ever picked up a wrench, who committed to working in the aftermarket, who manned the front lines in support of jobbers, distributors, manufacturers, and suppliers, who serve as service advisors, diagnosticians, technicians, and woman shop owners. This episode's key talking points can be found at remarkableresults.biz/E384. Hey, a new page on the website allows you to watch every weekly Carmcast. Yes, a new weekly live show where I just may share some sage wisdom of my own so that all ships rise. Enjoy the day. We'll talk soon.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.